And God wants us to be able to confess to our children sometimes when we are not being completely honest with them. Just try, and they sense that, you know that? They can sense when you're trying to get over on them. They're smarter than we think. So, you know, as Christians, we ought to, as fathers especially, you know, we ought to be honest with our children and even confess to our children when we messed up. We'll talk more about that later. But right now, I want us to listen to a song where a dad admits that he is wrong and then admits how even God came in and blessed even when he didn't do everything right. And maybe this will just kind of tweak some sounds and promises that you've made to your children as we realize through this song, Butterfly Kisses. Let's hear that song.
Two things I know for sure. She was sent here from heaven, and she's daddy's little girl. As I drop to my knees by her bed at night, she talks to Jesus, and I close my eyes, and I thank God for all of the joy. But most of all, for butterfly kisses after bedtime prayer, sticking little white flowers all up in her hair. Walk beside the pony, daddy, it's my first ride. I know the cake looks funny, daddy, but I sure tried. Oh, with all that I've done wrong, I've done something right to deserve a hug every morning and butterfly kisses at night. Sweet 16 today. To perfume and makeup from ribbons and curls, trying her wings out in a great big world. But I remember butterfly kisses after bedtime prayer, sticking little white flowers all. I love you, daddy, but if you don't mind, I'm only gonna kiss you on the cheek this time. Oh, with all that I've done wrong, I must have done something right to deserve your love every morning and butterfly kisses at night. A promise, and I'll give her away. Standing in the bride room, just staring at her. She asked me what I'm thinking, and I said, I'm not sure. I just feel like I'm losing my baby girl. She leaned over.
Butterfly kisses. Oh, I remember our children and being able to carry them and play with them and tickle them and kiss them. You know, God has that same kind of affection towards us. That's what I want to talk to you about today. We now as parents, and some of us parents to be, I want us to think about this. In fact, I'd like to give a challenge to every parent, and especially the fathers. This is Father's Day. And here's my message to me and to you and to all of us. Fathers, give your children God. Say what? Yes. Give your children God. God blessed us as fathers to have a part in bringing our children into this world. I believe that God wants us to continue by giving our children Him. I cannot think of anything more valuable than God. I cannot think of anything more life-changing for your children, our children, than God. Parents, give. Fathers especially. Our Heavenly Father gave us life. Let us give, fathers, give your children God. You say, well, how in the world can I give my child God? I mean, God is God. He is eternal. He's almighty this, almighty that. How can we give Him anything? Through our children. By giving our children to God. Now, when our children were born, we had a prayer over and blessed them and gave them to God. But now that they're older, and now that maybe your children or some of them are grown, we need to give them a vision of who they are. When I read the Bible, when I read about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they were all given a vision for the future. And I believe that our children, God will give them and is giving them a future in Him, in His kingdom. And I believe that God wants us to give our children Him, our Father. We sang that earlier. Our Father. We're going to sing it at the close of this service. Our Father. I want my Father to be my children's Father and their children's children's Father. There's no greater Father than God. There's no greater legacy or gift we could give to our children, fathers, than God. You say, well, how do you do that? Give them through grace and mercy. I must confess that in my younger years as a father, I looked too much to performance. You got to do this, you got to do that. And they should do things. And they should be obedient. But the emphasis with God is not on performance. It's not on law. It's on God's love and grace and mercy. We want our children to behave, right? Sit straight, do this, do that. And I've had to confess to my children and ask their forgiveness in years past when I emphasize how they behave over my love for them. You see, God so loved the world, Scripture says, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God gave his Son. He didn't give his Son a whip. He gave his Son to us to die for us on the cross. And that same love as a father, that same love as a parent is needed by our children. We share God, with our Heavenly Father, when we become vessels of his love, vessels through which his mercy and grace and kindness is given, even when the kids are acting up. I ain't gonna give them as long as they're acting like that. Oh, really? Does God withhold his love and grace from us when we're not doing what we know as adults we should be doing? He is very long-suffering, and in spite of our behavior, Pastor, I don't think that's right. They got to do right, then I'll act right towards them. I believe that God loves us even in our sins. God so loved the world that he gave his Son while we were in our sins. He didn't say, well, y'all wash up, get cleaned up, make sure those spiritual nails are all sharpened and there's no dirt under there and that your room is clean, your bed is made, and then I'll love you. In fact, though, I know I, many others, we withheld things from our children because until they acted right. God, while we were in our sins, gave his Son for us. I believe that we give our children, God, the most precious gift of all, when we give them God's love when they don't deserve it. That's when God's love is the richest in its flavor, in its power, is when he still embraces us and still loves us. The prodigal son. It's really called the prodigal father. He looked for his son. And his son, a long way off, was coming. He didn't say, son, get cleaned up, washed up, and then I'll invite you in. No, while he was still stinking, being out there with the pigs, the father received him. See, that's the father. That is the true father that we as fathers and mothers need to give to our children. We're not talking about license, do anything you want. We're talking about, in fact, that when a person is loved, their behavior changes more than when a person is disciplined. Think about that. How could that be true? Because I think love is the most powerful thing in the universe. We know that from Scripture. Love. And when you can love somebody who does not deserve it, someone who maybe is cursing you out, oh, you can't talk to me that way. Well, I just did. You know what it says here in Ephesians chapter 6? Here's my text. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Don't frustrate them. You're asking them to have a behavior that you don't even have and live up to 100%. Don't make it impossible for them to be accepted. I'll accept you when. I'll love you if. God's not that way. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. What is the training and the instruction of the Lord is? Is it just a matter of do's and don'ts? But is it at its core the gospel of Jesus Christ? The good news of God's love and God's mercy and how he saved us when we were yet in our sins? That's the good news. And yet we expect a higher, as fathers, standard for our children. So that's why I'm saying today, fathers, give your children, not they when they earn it. You can't earn this. And the beauty of it is, When we give our children the grace and mercy of God when they deserve something totally different, that wow factor kicks in, that wow factor of the Holy Spirit. I believe the Holy Spirit comes in and works in our children and in their hearts and minds as we are giving them the mercy and the grace and the love of God, even in their sins, not condoning sin, but in their sins, giving them the strength and the power of God's love to change and to grow. And now they want to. Not because they have to, because any teenager that does something because they have to, their heart is not going to be where it would be as if they were loved to. That my parents love me so much. Yeah, they teach me, they show me how much they love me. Because let me tell you something. Love cannot be taught. I'm going to say it again. Love is not taught. Love is caught. Love is experienced. Wait, not experienced, but experienced when it is given. You can tell you're being loved and nothing is being asked of you. That's that unconditional. That's that mercy. That's that grace. That is the heart of the gospel. And I believe that God wants us to live the gospel. And I confess, and I have asked my children to forgive me, that I did not understand the gospel. I did not rear them based upon the mercy and the love of God. I reared them on the law of God. No one can keep the law. It is only when they experience the Holy Spirit living in them, bringing the love of God, are they then empowered and enabled to obey. They can't do it without that fatherly love, that love from heaven. So do not exasperate your children, asking them, and they should be held to a standard. Don't misunderstand me. But that's not the way to get there. It's not through the law, but it's because of grace, because of the love of God, because that gift that we as parents and grandparents have given them, that they can overcome by and through the Holy Spirit, the love of God being expressed in our hearts. I mean, I'm going on and on and on, and I don't want to go too much longer. This is Father's Day, but I want you to remember, love your children, love your grandchildren. Let it be something that they see that is caught, not just taught. Give them this amazing love, and you will never regret it. You will rejoice in the Lord, and they will run to the Father. They will run to you. They will run to God. We're not in the attitude, well, I'm in trouble. You know, we're not under condemnation. We can run to the Father, even as the prodigal father ran to the prodigal son in the embrace. Oh, the Lord is so good. For the Lord's Supper now, we come to eat before the Lord. Come to eat even knowing that we are sinners. Wow. Let me tell you something. Let me encourage you as I have to encourage my own soul. That we must be honest with our children. We must not go around acting like, well, we have it all together. When we don't. Sometimes I believe it is, depending on the age limit and what the issue is with the children, to let them know that you're on your knees praying because you need the Lord. But if we go around acting like we don't need the Lord, we got it all together. You know, I am your great-grandfather. I'm your father. I'm blah, blah, blah. No, they can tell. Children, especially teenagers, know when you are real. And they don't trust you. And they won't trust God if we are fake Christians, when we don't come before the throne of grace in the time of need as sinners. So why should they? Again, remember, they're watching us. Not like, oh, let me get something on Dad here or Grandpa. No, it's obvious. And they can tell when we are sincere, that when we really are living the life and letting God live it through us rather than in our own strength and putting up something that's phony. They catch it like that. As I said before, the grace of God is something that is not taught, but it's something that is caught. And when you get it, you get it. And God can give it to you. And we come with this meal now in verse 23 of 1 Corinthians. That's 1 Corinthians chapter, I didn't write it down.
11.
Chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord, this is what Paul says, what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember God. Remember what he's done for us. And this bread and this wine point us to the reality of the body and the blood of Jesus. He said about the bread, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember God's love for us. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Remember God. Remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, his blood. God the Father, our Father in heaven, giving his life through his Son to us and for us so that we can be with him forever. Verse 26, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're proclaiming the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner. You know what an unworthy manner is? Believing that you've got it all together and you don't have anything to repent of, and you go on, you know, no, I'm fine. And especially our children and grandchildren can tell, well, no, it's not right. No, mom's worried, dad's you don't tell them everything that's asserted, but I'm saying they can sense when you're faking it. As Christians, we don't have to fake it to make it. We just have to trust. And God does it in and through us. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful? In verse 28, a man or a woman ought to examine him or herself before they eat of this bread and drinks of this cup. Examining ourselves for self-sufficiency rather than knowing we need the Lord. As that old song says, if we ever needed the Lord before, we sure enough need him now. Verse 29, for everyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment to himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. Brothers and sisters, God has given us this wonderful gift. Let us give this gift. Let us give the gift of God's love and grace through Jesus Christ to our children and grandchildren, and for generations to come. This is a wonderful offer. This is a wonderful blessing that God gives to us. Let's accept that blessing. Let's receive it. This is a love so deep that it's only able to be apprehended and comprehended through faith. So let's sing the song, How Deep the Father's Love For Us. Before that, let me pray. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you that we can share that love. Even as the scripture says, God so loved the world, even with our family, with our children and grandchildren. Oh, Lord, let them see Jesus in us. Let them experience that grace and that mercy and that forgiveness that only comes through you. Oh, Father, let this light of your grace and of your mercy and love shine through us. And all who see us, all that we have relationship with, and even new relationships, will come and taste and see how deep your love is. It's unbelievable. It's radical. It's wonderful. Oh, let us be instruments. Let us be vessels of your love and grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So let us now listen to the song, sing the song, How Deep the Father's Love for Us.
How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure. That he should give his only son. To make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away. As wounds which mar the chosen one. Bring sons to glory.
Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders, the shame that here my mocking was. Among the scoffers,
it was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer.
But this I know with all my heart, his word.